Welcome back, college basketball fans, to Hoops HD Under the Radar. This is our first Under the Radar and our first podcast overall of 2020. So welcome to the new decade.
Yeah, the new decade. Not just the new year, the new decade. Yeah. Chad, it was hard for me to party it up with me locked in the friggin' puppet bunker again.
Well, hey.
You know what the roaring 20s means, right, puppet?
Oh,
Prohibition
yes,
is back.
No. No, no, there was no prohibition.
Okay. Anyhow, let's go nowhere fast.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to get to. This is our Under the Radar.
We really
podcast.
Should start over.
The Radar. And when it comes to Under the Radar, what we are talking about is the 22 conferences that typically are single bid conferences. You see at large bids out of these conferences, maybe one or two a year, but they are not the Power Five conferences. Which are the ACC,
SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac 12.
And they're not the other five conferences that are generally putting multiple teams in or coming very close to it, which are the Big East, the American, the Mountain West, the West Coast, and Atlantic 10.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, so we nailed that. Other disqualifier is top 25 teams are not considered under the radar in either of the polls. And David, I think this is the longest we've ever gone in a season without having a top 25 team. These 22 conferences.
Yeah, last year you had Buffalo break in really quickly.
And Wofford.
Wofford toward the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I really thought we were on the verge of seeing Northern Iowa break in. They did not have a good start to the season, or at least a conference play. We'll get to that later. We got a lot to get to, Chad. I mean, there's 22 conferences, so we don't you kind of got to be on rapid fire to get to everything, but we have got – a lot to get to, don't we?
We've got a lot to get to, and we have we like to do a feature conference every show or every week. But today we're going to switch things up. We've got a couple things, actually. Number one, we're actually going to have two separate feature conferences, which we'll get to in a second here.
Yeah.
But also, before we get to that, at the end of the show, we're going to do something we've never done before here at Hoops HD, ever before.
What's that?
We are going to be announcing the Hoops HD Under the Radar Team of the Decade.
Really? So yes. Team of the Decade. Now,
five best players of the entire decade among the Under the Radar conferences.
Yeah. Now, I do have to ask a question because it could be anybody. Like a program like Butler, who used to be in the Horizon League and was at the start of the decade, if say a Butler player were to make it, they would have had to have been on the team that played – for Butler during the time that they were under the radar. Right.
Not only that, but we did a lot of research here. Stalika, you helped out with this a lot here. Not only that, but we made certain that if that player from Butler was considered, it was not only stats that counted were for games while Butler was in the Horizon League, and Butler was not rated in the top 25 by either poll at the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Didn't even count. Right.
Yeah.
And then the other disqualifier was we had to make sure these were games as of 2011, because as we all know, 2011 through 2020 is the proper decade.
I don't know. We're doing the team of the decade.
Team of the decade.
Let's get right to things here. And we're going to do is start off with our first of two feature conferences. There's only about 16 shows we do during the year. There's 22 conferences. So I think we'll do two this week.
Yeah.
And we're going to start out with the way that the last decade did end, as we saw, we lost David.
No, you didn't. I need to grab something here, and this is not easy with that. Continue.
Okay. Well, we saw, according to ESPN's rankings of upsets, I believe when UMBC beat Virginia in the NCAA tournament as a 16-1, it was a 1.45% chance going into the game that UMBC would win this. Tuesday on New Year's Eve, Florida A&M had a 1.3% chance to win at Iowa State, making it, I believe, from what I read, the biggest upset in terms of percentage chance to win heading into the game in the last 15 years, and therefore definitely of the last decade.
But yes.
It was definitely Hilton Magic.
Yeah, but yeah, right. Somehow FAMU went to Iowa State and won 70-68. David, throw it to you first.
Is this the third upset of this caliber that we've seen? Now, again, like the first was Evansville winning at Kentucky, SFA going to Duke and winning, which is, in any given year, the biggest upset you'll see in 5 years. It wasn't even the biggest upset of the month, as it turned out. This upset, while it probably won't get the traction that the other two got because Iowa State was not ranked in the top five and certainly not number one. They were in the 40s. But the gap between them and FAMU was the largest that we had seen, like you said, in the last 15 years. And I believe it was also the largest margin of victory according to the spread. Evansville was only a 24-point underdog. I think FAMU was 25.5.
Right.
I don't remember the number, but let's not forget Charleston Southern also won at Missouri earlier in the season.
Yeah, as bad as that one was, I don't think it was on the caliber of this. This is a FAMU team that had lost, was it 86 straight road games or straight out of conference games?
Maybe both. It was out of conference games, I believe, because they were actually mediocre last season. 2 years ago, this team lost 27, 28 games, was a complete mess. I believe when the new current head coach came in there, he came in with one player returning from the year before. This team has been on probation for the last several years as a result of all kinds of inconsistencies, I think, that were talked about with some of their academic reporting and stuff, that they've gotten squared away now, but still ineligible for postseason play even, yet they go and they win at Iowa State.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Slicka, how about the rest of the MEAC, though, while we're on the MEAC? If you look down there a couple spots lower, we don't have any conference play yet, but I think the best team might be Coppin State there with four D1 wins and the 257 net rating, which is second now to FAMU, which went up about 100 points for beating Iowa State.
Yep, and then you're also looking at one of the usual suspects like NC Central, but their record is bloated at this point by three non-D1 wins, so we're not really going to see them really populate into the standings here until we get deep into the heart of a MEAC play here.
And David, if we want to look at predictive rankings as props of measurement, Bethune-Cookman, I think, has the best of those across the board.
Yeah, and probably one of the better-looking teams, despite, like, you know, only being 3-8. Of course, 3-8, pretty good by who you're comparing them to. But I kind of like this Cookman team and think that once they do start playing in conference play, they're going to be one of the teams to watch. Maryland Easter Shore, you got to consider them a centenary candidate. Just about everything, 344 or lower.
Yeah, yeah. Eastern Shore, Delaware State also without a win, although I saw them play in person. I think they're going to get a few this year.
Well, I think Delaware State actually got some more centenary points because they were the second team in the MEAC to lose to, wait for it, Washington Adventist.
Yeah. Another big upset there Monday night. Washington Adventist, who's already won at Howard, now has won at Delaware State.
So are they 2-0 in the conference?
They are 2-0 in the MEAC. Morgan State picked up a win at Loyola Marymount this past week, too. So that's
which was kind of surprising. Yeah. I mean, it really was.
Morgan State in the post-Todd Bozeman era, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at what's coming up in the MEAC here. I think we're about to get into conference play. Non-conference action, other than tomorrow night's Mid-Atlantic Christian at North Carolina A&T game. Conference play about to kick off here. So the standings should start getting a lot more interesting in a few weeks once we get a few games under our belts.
Yeah. And if you're looking at a favorite like Coppin State, for example, they're going to be hosting both South Carolina State and another contender, Norfolk State, next Monday.
Yes. Okay, let's look at our second feature conference, though. And I also want to feature, in addition to featuring the MEAC, let's also take a quick look, extra look at the Ivy League. This was a hell of a week in the Ivy League for many reasons. Penn goes and picks up a road win at Howard, but Harvard, Sleek, let me start off with you. Harvard, a great week going out to the West Coast and winning at Cal and at San Francisco. And I believe they have one more game in this road trip tomorrow night as well.
Well, this is the second road trip they've had that's actually on back-to-back days. The first one was in D.C. where they beat, I think it was Howard and I think GW was the team. And then this week they go out to the Bay Area. They win at Cal, which wasn't a terrible shot, but going to San Francisco 24 hours later, that's actually going to be a notable win for the Crimson here.
Yeah, David, this Harvard team we liked a lot heading into the season. They picked up some questionable losses early on, but I think this team's on the going the right way now with this road trip.
Absolutely. In the last couple of weeks, and particularly out in California, they've looked like the team that we thought that they would at the beginning of the year. And had they played like that all year, we're probably talking, are they a potential team that could become an at-large caliber team? I suppose they still could, but they pretty much need to win out the rest of the way. But a really nice week for Harvard, probably better than just about anybody else that we've seen at the Ivy League. A lot going on here. Yale,
only losing by 3 to North Carolina, and the best metrics of the conference, David. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I know North Carolina's beat up, but to go there on the road and play as well as they did, and then not just that game, but everything kind of leading into that, the Yale Bulldogs really rolling right now. Dartmouth, who got off to a really, really good start this year, kind of struggling a little bit, although I think they did win the Battle of the Granite State.
No, they lost it.
No, they lost.
70-56. Yeah,
70. They lost pretty badly.
They play a lot
better. That's why I have Vermont, the New Hampshire gear this week.
Yeah, they play. They play a lot better against Vermont than they did against New Hampshire tonight. They did against New Hampshire, but there's one other game we want to discuss that happened tonight. Brown went, picked up the home. Actually, it was a home win, I guess, over Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And David, we have a breaking news here because this was the championship game of a very little known but very important
big
tournament.
Oh, yes, it was.
Here it is, right here.
Yes. Oh, wow, look at that. See, the Ocean State Tournament, and it was
I mean, these are the brackets from earlier this year. Brown knocked off Bryant 73-71.
Really good game in the semifinals there between Brown and Bryant.
And a couple weeks ago, Rhodey with a 75-61 lead went over Providence, and tonight, Brown 85-75 over Rhode Island, and there they are, your Ocean State Tournament champions, for the 2019-2020 season. Should we send them a banner?
I remember that night that was the only game the Big East had actually lost that weekend, when I think everyone else had went 9-0.
Yeah, and just I can't remember the last time Brown won this tournament. It's just a phenomenal accomplishment, really going in the right direction. But, what a tournament for them. And I can't remember, Chad, I should know this. I wish Rocco was here, but you might know the answer. Is this an automatic – is this an AQ tournament? Sort of like, you know how if you win the Ivy League tournament or you win the Atlantic 10 tournament, you're automatically in. Is the Ocean State tournament an AQ tournament?
We're going to have to take a look into that, but we may see Brown in a lot of brackets going forward here as an automatic bid winner.
But if we go in our history books, you have to go back 34 years to their only Ivy League crown.
Huh. Well, Ivy League, but how about Ocean State?
Yeah, how about winning the Ocean State?
Let's move on from mythical tournaments to the upcoming week in the Ivy League. Harvard's back at home, but playing a West Coast team. I'm sorry. We're playing Irvine this weekend. And big first game of the Ivy League season. It's going to be a few weeks before they get to the regular Friday-Saturday format. But this is travel partners playing each other Saturday. Princeton-Penn, the number one rivalry, maybe one of the best rivalries of all the under-the-radar conferences.
Yeah, it's definitely up there, and it's definitely heated, and you really should watch on Saturday because it actually does kind of shock you how intense this one can get.
It's the biggest historical, at least basketball rivalry, but now we're seeing a football rivalry in Harvard-Yale slowly starting to take over in the basketball standings.
Yeah.
Let's go from here. Let's go through the rest of the conferences. We'll go a little bit quicker through the rest of the leagues. We'll go through them in alphabetical order, starting with the America East. We've got a lot to get to, including our team of the decades here in a few minutes. But America East Conference, Vermont picked up a pair of wins, GW and at Dartmouth, starting to get those metrics into the double digits again, where we expected them to be a lot better this season. But I think they're starting to turn things on heading into conference play.
Yeah.
And Salika, I guess the other thing we've got to mention here was the longest road trip in the history of Division I basketball, where a team is playing a true road game when Maine went out and got blasted in Hawaii.
Yep, about 10,000 round trip miles if you're keeping track at home.
Yeah, it's like that was such a long bus ride. It was crazy. I mean, Can we put that in the Google Maps and see how far that was?
It was, I believe, over 1,000 miles that they, over 10,000 miles that they traveled. So it was ridiculous.
Wow. For one game.
Yeah. Their flight, I believe, I read it went from Portland, Maine, down to Philly, out to Chicago, and then to Honolulu, and then back again. And you know, I think it was 16 hours each way. Insane, but. But one of the things here is Hawaii pays the travel costs, David, for any team going out there to visit them. And that's why the game made sense for Maine a little bit.
Yeah, and it is an exempt game. You get an extra one. So good for – I mean, why not?
Anyhow, we're about to head – Sleek, I guess conference play is about to get underway here this weekend. Vermont hosting Stony Brook. After they're off over the weekend, I guess they're first of them on Wednesday.
And then Stony Brook is the main contender. They start out with both Maine and Vermont here, and Vermont just has the one game to open the league.
And Slick, I'm going to stick with you with our next conference as well, where we saw Liberty. We were talking about them being undefeated, the chance for them to get their one big win at LSU, but they really didn't even show up for that game, did they?
Yep, even about a 10-minute delay in the second half because of a net being dislodged couldn't disrupt the momentum for LSU, and therefore the Flames blew their, let's say, their opportunity out of conference. But by the same token, they looked pretty solid, tipped the buzzer tonight at Florida Gulf Coast where they held the Eagles. So I think it was 4 points in the first 10 minutes of the game, and they win 59-46.
Interesting thing, Liberty, can we look at their profile, Chad, because they are sort of an interesting bracketology case here. Now, let me say that, like, there's a very way more than three-quarters chance that they end up winning the conference tournament, and it's not an issue at all. But you see there they've got 1, 2, 3, 4 top 200 wins. Those are the only four they will have all year. If they run the table and win every single game the rest of their way, you see the NET there, nobody remaining on their schedule in the RPI top 200. So the ultimate trivia question is, or not trivia question, but debate, if their next loss is in the ASUN tournament, are they in?
I think they are, just because you're looking at a two-loss team, and I can't see a two-loss team being left out. And the Akron win will be solid. The win at Vanderbilt is a notable win. You'll have picked up a few more road wins. You know, there's a chance a team like North Florida could crack the top 200, maybe Jacksonville. These are teams that are close to the top 200.
Yeah.
I could see it happening. Real quick, David, on the right-hand side, I put up another fascinating profile here.
Yeah.
This past week, a week and a half ago, South Carolina went to Virginia, the defending national champions, and won. This week, Stetson, who has losses to Lipscomb, Florida International, Fort Wayne, 327 VMI, went to South Carolina and knocked off the Gamecocks.
It was inexplicably. I mean, it's just one of those. I can't believe some of the upsets we've seen this year. I mean, it is rare. You will more often than not go through an entire basketball season and maybe see one game where a team beat a team that was 200 spots ahead of them. We've seen it. Now, I know we've got a long way to go, but at the end of the year, I think we're going to have at least five where that is the case. And you know, it might take you 10 years. You might have to go back 10 years to get five total before that. What a crazy kind of year we're having. And I know that this isn't the under the radar, so I'll only mention it for a second, but it just goes to show you how much Virginia is struggling. And Tony Bennett on the hot seat.
Upcoming schedule here. Liberty, a road test at NJIT. Followed by a home game against North Alabama. Those are probably the two games to circle in the ASUN this coming week. And let's quickly move on to the Big Sky Conference, where heading into the season, we thought Idaho would be one of the worst teams in the nation. They picked up another win tonight, I believe. The game may not be on the screen there yet, but I believe they knocked off Portland State. But I'm talking at the top of the standings, though. Montana is starting to look pretty good with a nice road win tonight at Southern Utah.
Yeah, it took them a little while to get their motors started. A team that really had their motors started, that's it's starting to sputter, is that Montana State team that you just mentioned.
Yeah, falling to Northern Colorado at, on the road tonight.
Yeah, not the way you want to start off after looking so good in their first couple games. But, yeah, Montana is really starting to hit their stride after, God, really sputtering early.
And likewise, you look at a team like Sacramento State, they had one of the toughest road trips, having to go to both Montana and Montana State and come away with two losses to open the season.
Yeah, I guess a couple games to circle here. Montana with two road games coming up in the next week at Northern Colorado, at Eastern Washington. They win those two, this might be a blowout this entire conference season, because that is another tough – that's a tough road trip in this league as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
John, over in the Big South Conference, we have gotten into a little bit of conference play start off tonight, including a Presbyterian pick of a buzzer-beating win over UNC Asheville.
Yep, that would be one of the notable results. And the other one is Gardner-Webb going on the road to Campbell and also getting a win, which was also noteworthy in that Campbell was actually coming off an 8-point road win at OU on Sunday. So nice win for the Camels there, but these are the games that are probably going to be weighted a lot more for the Camels, unfortunately.
Right. If I may make a comment about this conference in general, Chad, you see right now we're one game in, all teams separated by one game. and it's not unusual to be 12 games in and to see the entire conference separated by about one or two games.
And I think for what we've seen so far, especially where we saw some pretty good games tonight, other than Longwood getting blown out by Winthrop, I think we may be in store for exactly that again.
Yeah.
Radford hasn't played yet. They host High Point on Saturday, and then they go to Gardner-Webb. They're the team that had the best metrics heading into the conference play, at least. Right on over to the – let's go – how about a little Big West action here? No conference play yet at all in this league, so I don't know, David, anything else we want to discuss here? Cal State Fullerton winning at UCLA, who is giving Washington a heck of a battle on the road tonight.
Yeah, and kind of another disappointing year for the Big West. This is kind of two in a row. This was one of the better top-to-bottom leagues, and, you know, typically getting teams, at least if their first-place team ended up getting the auto bid on the 12-13 line. We saw UC Irvine last year get into the round of 32. Not so looking kind of, you know, not a whole lot of top 200 here.
I guess, John, UC Santa Barbara going to Louisiana, a long road trip for them, picking up a road win on Sunday was pretty good, though.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the more notable wins for the conference, even though Santa Barbara does have a pretty bloated schedule outside of that, unlike Irvine, who's in the top 100 in terms of schedules, and despite a sub-500 record, still has run away the best metrics in the conference at this point.
And if ever a conference liked to play non-D1 games in January, this is the league. Look at these games coming up this week. We do it by Wednesday and Thursday get into conference play. But everyone, including St. Catherine, back-to-back trip to Northridge and Fullerton. Go St. Catherine.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. Yeah. David, Colonial.
St. Catherine. Jesus Christ, talking about under the radar. How about that Hofstra team that I was big?
Yeah, Hofstra goes and gets blown out at home by William & Mary tonight, and now I'm back on the William & Mary bandwagon after we were on Hofstra for a couple days there.
Yeah, that's all it was, a couple of days. Every time I try to like Hofstra, no matter what part of the year it is, they go and do something like that. After a rather unspectacular out-of-conference showing, how about College of Charleston, yes. Earl Grant and company getting off to a 3-0 start and looking pretty good.
Two of those wins on the road at Drexel and at Delaware. So, yeah, I am definitely starting to buy in on this Charleston team now. You also got Sleeka Northeastern 3-0 to begin the conference season.
Northwestern 3-0. And
Northwestern?
So naturally, we had the pillow fight on CBS Sports Network tonight between James Madison and Wilmington, where James Madison gets their first conference win.
That was a close game, actually, at the end. So
it was.
Big rivalry game coming up Friday, the Delaware-Drexel game. That's been a good rivalry since they were both back in, what, the America East together, I think. Charleston is at Elon after they host James Madison. So a couple games to keep an eye on there. But yep. Let's keep things rolling. And John, how about over in Conference USA? David's been trying to talk me into this Louisiana Tech team, and a road win at Southern Miss by a blowout fashion to start conference play. I might be ready to buy in.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech is starting to hold up their end of the bargain, and Western Kentucky, they also dug themselves a double-digit hole in the first half before coming back to beat North Texas.
That was an impressive come-from-behind win. Western Kentucky can put it together. I mean, they're like a car that's all revved up, but you can't really get it to go straight all the time.
I'll tell you, the other result I paid attention to, we kind of liked what UTEP was doing a little bit this off during the non-conference play.
Yeah, I am off of
but
them.
But Florida International picks up the win over them tonight. I know it was at home, but I might start paying attention to this FIU team. I don't to because I hate their home court but design, but David might pay some attention here.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, really off to one of their better years in quite some time. And when you look at – they're one of the more pleasant surprises. I thought North Texas would show us a lot more than what they've had. UTEP looked good for a second, and then they left home and have not really looked good since. But, yeah, FIU, you know, a team without a whole lot of history or a program without a whole lot of history, looking good this year.
But, unfortunately, UTEP's had a real big health scare off the court because head coach Rodney Terry actually missed the game at FIU, I think because of a pregame meal, and later on today they find out he's in critical but stable condition. So, we don't know what his
wishes out to him.
Oh God,
what his status is going to be over the next few days because they still have another game at Florida Atlantic scheduled for Saturday.
Yeah, Stalika, thanks for I'm just now hearing about that. Thanks for sharing that.
No problem.
Yeah,
we definitely want to send our best out to him and. The whole program there. Upcoming schedule here is on the screen. Louisiana Tech hosting Southern Miss. They play them twice in a row to start conference play. And then they have a trip to San Antonio. So I expect them to be 3-0 come next week.
Yeah. Should be.
Team that I'm paying more and more attention to, Sleeka, and kind of in your backyard there in Cincinnati, this Wright State team now out to 12-3 with a 2-0 start in conference play.
Yeah, Wright State held up their end of the bargain, at least against the teams from Wisconsin and Northern Kentucky. Actually had a stumble at home against Green Bay, so that's why they're going to be tied in the standings. But if you look below Wright State, the team that actually stood out to me was Youngstown State getting a road sweep at IUPUI in Illinois, Chicago. So in my home state, but on the opposite corner.
Yeah. If you remember last year, Youngstown made a run mid-season in the Horizon League. They I think it was a
won
five
like
or
six
game winning streak out of nowhere, starting off the season 2-0. Maybe a little something going here with the Penguins.
Yeah, interesting going on here, and something to keep an eye on, Chad. I believe this format. I know that they keep tinkering with it. It's back to the ladder. Are all 10 teams in now,
or is it? Well, okay. All 10 teams are probably in. Detroit is as on the AP fan list.
Okay,
I don't know if they're going to participate or not. That's unclear still because they're actually still waiting for the results of their appeal of their ban. So they could
I hope that they win it. I don't think that they will.
My understanding was something like by half a grade by one player. It was such a close borderline call that they missed it. They actually may have a shot. They may get it overturned. On the other hand, they've also been awful so far this year, so it may not matter much.
The other thing, if we can pull up Wright State real quick, because while they're 12-3, of the three losses, one was by 1 point and one was by 2 points. So they are very, very close to having an even more impressive record. Margin of victory isn't always there, you know, just 2 against Western Kentucky, 7 against Toledo. So, I mean, they're not blowing teams out, but they are winning games. And when you look at
the schedule, that they play nobody?
They don't play anybody. But, I mean, just bloating out the record. Now, look at what is coming up. They are leaving Dayton, and they are not coming back for about 2.5 weeks.
Which means they've had Loudon Love come back just in time, at least for their first couple conference games at home.
Yeah. The upcoming schedule that you mentioned, that Wright State road trip, Youngstown State's going to be at Cleveland State, then hosting Oakland. A couple interesting games coming up this week in the Horizon League. We're almost halfway through. Let's move over to the Metro Atlantic as we're getting nearer and nearer to revealing our team of the decade here.
Yeah, team of the decade.
Metro Atlantic, two conference games that you've played so far. They were actually played a couple weeks ago. So not much happened this past week other than some checks cashed and losses.
Yeah, not a whole lot there. But I like this Rider team.
As long as you didn't watch that Wisconsin game on Tuesday night, you like the Rider team.
Well, that's true. Wisconsin, gee, coming out of nowhere there. But you know, Iona, interesting, and I didn't notice this until about a week ago. Only 7 out of conference games, they're finishing the season only playing 27. And it raises the question, they are allowed 2 more. This is a conference tournament that's over early. I don't know why they did this. I don't know if they did it intentionally. I don't know if they couldn't fill all the dates on the schedule, but it's kind of strange to see them play so few games.
No, it's not over early this year. Actually, this conference tournament has been moved back. The chip will be the day before selection. So we'll be on the Saturday of selection week.
I don't understand.
Moved to my backyard here in Atlantic City this year too.
I don't know why Iona, and I'm not even saying this disparagingly. It's unusual. I don't know why they didn't schedule more games.
They will be Ryder will be playing hosting Siena on Sunday, and then at Quinnipiac. If you want to look at a couple games to keep an eye on for as we move into conference. Everyone started off conference play here come Friday night.
And also keep an eye on Iona Monmouth on Sunday, a game that's been rather feisty in recent years.
Yeah.
I think they get national TV on that game too. ESPNU or one of those. David, Mid-American Conference.
Well, Chad, I know we're moving on to the Mid-American and I know it's big, but how about can we please just stop? I want to see the all-decade team. I got to know.
It's coming soon. It is. We spent a lot of time on this, David, but I think we should save it for the end of this show. Let's go on. We got about 10 conferences left to go. Mid-American Conference time. Akron and Kent State both still looking pretty good. Eastern Michigan, a bloated record with 4 non-D1 games. I don't really pay much attention to them.
How about Akron and Kent State? One of the bigger under-the-radar rivalries. Both teams, as you said, looking really good. Bowling Green kind of right there behind them. This conference, and particularly the East Division, it is going to be a war all the way through. It's going to be fun. It seems like it always is, and it seems like it always is. So, as they say, buckle up.
Yeah, I went kind of Buffalo, a nice rivalry win over St. Bonaventure this week as well. So I think you got 4 or 5, maybe all 6 teams in the MAC East there that could be contending for this title.
Yeah.
John, what are you looking forward to this week coming up in the MAC with the upcoming games there on the screen?
Well, one of the reasons Bowling Green had lost a couple games a week ago was because of an injury issue. So naturally they get a win last week, but now they're going to be tested big time with Kent State coming to the Stroh Center on Friday. So, and then they have a home game against Miami on Tuesday. So that'll be at least one way for the Falcons to right the ship themselves. And by the same token, if you're Akron, for example, you're going to Eastern Michigan and then hosting Western Michigan. So there's a couple games from the contenders to watch out for.
Yeah, I'm looking at this conference overall. Every team, at least overall record, not D1 record, but overall record, including non-D1 play, does have a winning record heading into conference play. So that should help with some of their metric numbers.
Yeah, especially in the East, if one of those three particularly one of those three can run away in the standings.
They might get themselves on the board, exactly.
Yeah.
Missouri Valley Conference, we teased it a little bit at the top of the show here, but let me go back to this here. Northern Iowa, we were ready to discuss, could they be a top 25 team, starts conference play on the road at Illinois State and loses.
We've seen Northern Iowa do this before. We've seen them be incredible in an exempt tournament, really strong out of conference, and then sort of lay an egg in conference. We've also seen them do the opposite, where they start off really, really bad, and you don't pay attention to them, but then they thunder down the stretch. I don't really know. I was really shocked. Nothing against Illinois State, but they just – had not at any point shown themselves to be the kind of team that could beat Northern Iowa, yet they did.
Yeah, there you
go. They did have a win against Belmont in their season opener, but haven't been close to the same team since, at least as far as the Redbirds.
Yeah, Belmont hasn't shown me much of anything this year, quite honestly.
We'll get into Belmont later.
Including a bad loss tonight, yeah. But Northern Iowa, when you look at that win at Colorado looking so good. Just picked up a win tonight over Oregon. I think that win's going to carry them a long way. I don't think this Illinois State loss is going to hurt much. If they can still go through the conference with only one or two more losses, I think this team is an NCAA tournament team, regardless of what happens in Arch Madness.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't think it's the end of the road for them. It's just going to be – they're not going to be in the top 25 for another 3 or 4 weeks because of that.
But God, they need to start – they can't play with their food anymore. I love that analogy.
They've got only one game this week, I believe, here, and they're hosting Bradley, who won the MVC tournament last year. So,
yeah, and, the recent success that we've seen from this league, I mean, we've seen Wichita State in the Final Four. Not in the league anymore. But, Loyola Chicago making it, and is anybody on the All-Decade team, Chad? How about we just go ahead and reveal the
If you want to talk about food fights, Puppet, look at a Tuesday when Northern Iowa is going to be hosting Indiana State. That could be a dangerous one.
Yeah, Larry Bird played for Indiana State, not in this current decade.
Larry Bird did not play is not on the All-Decade team. This is the All-Decade team we'll be revealing in just a few minutes here. But let's move on now to a conference that just got underway tonight, and the season has finally begun, and this is our favorite league of them all, the Northeast Conference. There were five games today. Merrimack with a nice road win, as did Wagner, probably the most impressive team going to Mount St. Mary's and dominating that game.
Yeah, Merrimack is going to be fun to watch. I don't think they're participating in the tournament, even if they qualify for it. Is that right?
That's correct. They will not be in the NEC tournament.
But it's still going to be fun to see what they can do during the regular season, which is kind of a blast. And then, again, you look at these. The reason we love these is – The rivalries and the venues and everything else, it's just so much fun. I love this league.
And if we look at the upcoming schedule, conference play again here, John, we've got five games each Saturday and Thursday. I think it's kind of that format for the rest of the season in this conference.
Yep, and we start to look at a team like St. Francis PA, who actually got off to an 0-1 start, but their upcoming games will be Central Connecticut and Wagner, so that should at least get them back on the winning side of the ledger.
Yeah, Central Connecticut looks like they will probably not be in the Northeast Conference tournament. One other team will be joining them, but they've been pretty lousy so far. They did pick up a win against a non-D1 team to get their first win of the season, at least.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're sitting area level bad. Holy crap.
Yeah. Ohio Valley Conference, we saw some interesting results tonight, including SIU Edwardsville going on the road. John, you teased it earlier, winning at Belmont by 10.
This would be a prime example of a bedwetting right here, especially the same week where Belmont actually had a nice 17-point win in Western Kentucky, but I can only conclude that they had a huge hangover celebrating 2020.
The other games tonight, there were some pretty good games tonight. Moorhead State falling in a close one at home to Jacksonville State. Tennessee State, a solid road win over Eastern Illinois. I kind of like this Tennessee State team still, but go ahead.
Yeah, James. But some big road wins tonight from teams that had not really shown anything in the out-of-conference portion of the seasons, particularly Edwardsville and Jack State. And you kind of wonder, is the corner being turned a little bit?
Yeah, if you look at the metrics, Belmont still is the best metrics, but with that loss,
that's going to kill their metrics.
And these numbers were all before the game, so these are going to go down a lot. Murray State, traditional power here, still got off to a 1-0 start conference with a win over UT Martin, who has been pretty good recent years at least, but not so much so far this season. Mm-hmm. Upcoming games here, David. We see if we want to talk a team like Tennessee State, they're going to be hosting Edwardsville. So, that's a first place battle.
Yeah, it is.
Edwardsville wins that one. They're going to have my attention significantly at this point.
Yep. So,
All right. So, David, Patriot League time.
Patriot League. All right.
We have seen one conference play game from everybody. I don't know what you want to say here.
Well, Colgate, the preseason favorite, getting the win. I still like them the most. I like them the most coming into the season. I like them the most after the out-of-conference portion of the game or of the season, you know, winning their opener. Is there anybody else that you like as much as them or even close to it? Because I could see Colgate kind of running away with
this. I'm kind of with you there. I don't see anybody else that really can contend with them. I'm not crazy about teams like Loyola or Navy or BU.
Yeah.
Maybe Lafayette. I mean, maybe that's the team, even though they started the season with a loss.
Well, Lafayette actually had an interesting win on Sunday where they were down 5 at Sacred Heart in the final 30 seconds, but actually won the game with a pair of free throws after mounting a late comeback themselves.
Colgate this week has just the one game at Army Monday night. I think that's the only – oh, no, then they're hosting Loyola on Wednesday next week as well. We're getting closer and closer to our all-decade team, but let's talk SoCon here, because this – conference got off to a heck of a start. All three of those top three teams coming up wins in their first conference games.
Yeah. Or
second conference games, I guess, at this point. They played one earlier the year.
Yeah, sort of a weird calendar the way they laid it out this year. But East Tennessee State, really a surprising struggle. They ended up getting the win, but not an impressive showing at all against, quite frankly, a Wofford team that, while they have a great program, this particular edition of it, not really that good. I was kind of surprised that they struggled as much as they did, but Furman and Greensboro off to a really good start as well.
Well, Wofford has a pretty good win so far this year too, though. So.
Well, yeah, they do have the win at Carolina.
Yeah. But, John, I think we've got a three-team battle here. I don't believe Western Carolina is going to hold up. But if you look at the upcoming schedule, we've got a big one coming up on Saturday. Maybe two big ones, even if you want to talk Wofford.
I was going to say, it's not going to be this year as far as Western Carolina, but there is a decent chance it could be 3-0 because they have the Citadel VMI road trip. But that being said, we do have to pay attention to the ETSU-Furman matchup for starters, and then East Tennessee State and Greensboro on Wednesday. So right away, the Bucks are going to have two of their hardest road games of the year out of the way in the span of a week.
I'll tell you what, David, they sweep those games.
They sweep those. They're running downhill.
Yeah, I mean, this team, I think that gives them an at-large profile, quite honestly.
It gets it close. Now, they have to hold serve the rest of the way. They can't get out there and lose to VMI and Citadel and teams like that. But I would agree with you. I mean, that has all the makings. The net, you got to keep in mind, it's while we're getting in the conference play, it's still real erratic. You go on the road and you win two games like that against teams that have those kinds of home records, it's going to go up pretty high.
And you're talking about top 100 net wins on the road with those two wins.
Yeah, you are.
Sleek, over in the Southland Conference, Stephen F. Austin now 3-0, starting to go into cruise control mode now. A couple of road wins, I believe, too.
Yeah, they weren't terribly challenged, at least as far as Sela goes. And if you're looking at other contenders like Sam Houston State, for example, they went to McNeese and won fairly comfortably. And Abilene Christian, the only other team that's still going to be undefeated at this point, but no league games this week for the Wildcats.
And I do want to give a shout-out to Houston Baptist. They were the last team without a win against any competition. They picked it up tonight in overtime over Central Arkansas. So they have a win, and now you're looking at there's about 8 or 9 teams left without a D1 win, but everybody has at least one win on the season. So congrats to the Huskies getting their first win overall in the season tonight.
Yeah. Can we look at SFA real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, because, again, the question is, if this team wins out or only drops one, are they inside the bubble? And my answer to that question is, like, where Liberty, it's a little bit of a question. With them, it is not, because they have something that Liberty does not have.
Right, and it's kind of the same thing I think that Northern Iowa has, that win at Colorado. This even better, a win at Duke. Nobody wins at Duke.
Yeah, and I realize we're talking not a whole lot of top 200 the rest of the way, but
Sam Houston and Nicholls State, maybe, yeah.
But so their profile is what it is. But if they hold serve, that is good enough. I know it's only like one, but that is a if you're going to get one like that. Holy crap, what a win.
But I really don't think they have any margin for error at all here. I think they have to win until the Southland Championship game, pretty much.
And as it is, they're only going to get one game against Nichols this year, at least in the regular season.
Yeah. And the Sam Houston game is their big rivalry game, and that's always a tough game to win.
Yeah.
In fact, SFA is this week. They're at New Orleans, and they're hosting Corpus Christi. Should win both those games.
Yeah, should.
We're close to our team of the decade, but I want to go through a few more leagues. We've got a couple left to go here. The Southwestern Athletic Conference. Absolutely nothing to discuss here at Stalika.
Unless you want to discuss Prairie View over Huston Tillotson. But
no D1 win.
Texas Southern gave A&M a battle, actually. But
yeah. We did get to double digit out of conference wins, though. So yeah.
I like the fact that we have a team that has no D1 wins that's listed second in this list.
That is kind of remarkable.
State there. But we are going to get into conference play coming up right away here on this weekend. So we'll start to see who
is going. Yeah, Alabama A&M has really done well for themselves. A former Centenary winner going out and beating, I think, Jack State and winning some other games.
Mm-hmm. Prairie View has a pair of home games. They had the great season in this conference last year. Let's go real quick over to the Summit League, where we've got, we've got a couple of conference games that have gone on. I think there's a couple more scores from tonight that didn't quite reach that screen there, but North Dakota State kind of doing their thing again, suddenly to start conference play.
Yeah, nobody in this league really jumped out. I mean, we're looking at a 15 or a 16 line, I think. But now that conference play started, North Dakota State, like you said, looking pretty good. I expected a little more out of Omaha out of conference. They hadn't shown it, but, again, they did win their one and only game so far. But those are the two teams I'm kind of keeping my eye on. I'm not really down with Fort Wayne. I know they won their opener, but and they beat a pretty good Yotes team that we were – or at least that I was kind of big on.
The Yotes team that's been falling apart, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's one thing for the Coyotes to lose to Fort Wayne, but losing to Western Illinois,
Yeah. North Dakota State has a non-D1 game against Northland over the weekend before they go to Oral Roberts next week. So they're kind of – maybe there's a couple games to take a look at. But over in the Sun Belt Conference – Stalika, you had your game of the day was from this league tonight, wasn't it?
Yep, I had Georgia State and App State, but this was a game where Georgia State managed to get out to a fairly quick lead, and I think led by as many as 16 or 17 before App State ended up making a run, but wasn't enough to hold off the Panthers here. So now you got both teams from the state of Georgia 3-0, and you had Arkansas State, who was also looking pretty good themselves, laid a big egg at home tonight against Texas Arlington.
Absolutely got crushed in that game. That was one of the shockers of the night. And David, should we start paying attention to Little Rock?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they jumped out early in the season, kind of fell off, but yeah, 3-0 in league play.
Yep, win over Texas State tonight. Texas State not that good, but it is a win. Upcoming games here, we see Little Rock is hosting Arlington. They got a game at Troy. They hosted Georgia Southern actually Monday. Maybe circle that one there, Georgia Southern at Little Rock Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that should be a good one.
And I think we are – what are we going to? Are we going to the next conference? I think
No, we're going to the – no, no.
No, I think we're going to go to the Pac-12 and talk about Washington's loss at home to UCLA tonight. Oh, no, we're going to
sorry, our team Rocco.
Team of the decade? No.
No. We've got our all-decade team.
We've got one more conference to do. Let's do it. Let's talk WAC sports first here. One more game that just went final is California Baptist. Started the season 1-0 with a win over UTRGV. Kansas City, a triple overtime win tonight over Seattle to start conference play.
Yeah.
In a game that they had a shot. Seattle had a shot at the with about a second half left to tie the game that they missed. And actually, there was a traveling call on the play. We almost came that close.
We almost had a quadrupler.
Yeah.
Almost. New Mexico State, it's their league to win, especially if they can get healthy, which we keep hearing that they're going to do, but then we never really see it. But with or without their team at full strength, they should blow through this league.
Yeah, they will finally get their conference play underway Saturday at California Baptist and then hosting Chicago State.
Yeah, so one of the harder games and then one of the easier games. You know, Cal Baptist, the only team to beat them a year ago, and it was in the conference opener.
So, yeah, and that's could be a revenge game. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
On that note,
all right,
we've been teasing it all night.
We have our all-decade team.
This is the all-deck Hoops HD under the radar team of the decade.
Wow.
There it is. Team of the decade. We are 2 days into the decade. The 2020. Yeah. Here we are. Jordan Lydon of Furman had 40 points, averaging 40 points a game this decade.
For the entire decade.
Isaiah Miller from Greensboro, 31 points and 9 steals.
How about Ian DeBose?
Houston
Baptist, a double-double average for the decade.
44 and 11.
That's like Pistol Pete didn't do that for an entire decade.
We got Andrew Kosteka from Loyola, Maryland, 37 points, a little bit third place, I guess, overall.
Yeah.
And I had to give a shout here to Maine. We had to put at least one forward on the team here.
I mean,
nice double-double average of the year.
That's really strong.
So there we are, our team of the decade, Hoops HD under the radar. Stalika, your thoughts on it?
I don't have any thoughts because, like I said earlier, our decade doesn't actually end until the end of 2020.
It is that team of the decade. Where's our buzzer, damn it?
Yeah.
Top 10 lists.
Okay.
Here's our under the radar top 10 list for January 2nd, 2020. Let's start with some honorable mentions. Team receiving votes. Kent State and Akron, those two MAC teams we discussed.
Ooh, yeah.
Vermont getting a little love.
And Illinois, yeah, Vermont. Yeah. Illinois State. Stalika. Interesting. Stalika. They're 7-8. Wow.
I would have voted for FAMU above them. I didn't even give them credit. Let's go to our top 10. Coming at number 10 off of their big week, they'll start this big West Coast trip. We mentioned them at the top of the show, Harvard making our top 10.
Yeah, and probably so. And they'll probably continue to move up in this in our weekly rankings.
Coming in at number 9, Wright State.
Wright State. Yeah, we talked about them earlier in the show. Real big bloated record there. Favorites to win the Horizon League.
At number 8, we have Louisiana Tech, that Conference USA team that's been just kind of hanging in there. And I think they could start making some noise here.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yale. Ivy League teams in our top 10.
Yeah, two Ivies. Yeah.
And at number 6, we've got Furman, one of our
three. Right out of the SoCon. Yeah, one of the three SoCon juggernauts. So it's just, I'm assuming the other two are in there. So three in the top 6.
There's another one of them, Greensboro, coming in at number 5.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 4, we've got all three of them. How about that?
All three of them. Four, back to five, back to back. Six. Yeah, wow. Interesting. So East Tennessee State, they are really good. And again, they're going to move up big time if they have a big week like we're. Like they could. They've got the opportunity to really do something.
I found it a little interesting this week that all three of us had a different team number 1. So at least one of us voted each of the last three teams number 1. Coming to number 3, Stephen F. Austin, who, David, I believe that was your number 1 team.
Yeah, and I know that they haven't always looked it, but when I look at their losses, Alabama, I really dinged them for that. But when you look at how well Alabama has been playing in the stretch in which they beat SFA, and they do have that win against Duke, I can understand not giving it to them, but I really, really like them.
Number 2, this was my number 1 team, Liberty. Despite the loss to LSU, I know that they don't have the quality of wins, but I just think that this team, I don't think this team's going to lose again, quite honestly.
No, they probably won't.
Till the NCAA tournament.
Right, yeah.
And I think for their own selfish purposes, they'll also be cheering for Akron to actually win the MAC because so far that's been their most notable win to date on a neutral floor.
Stalika, your choice for number 1, I think, ended up is probably the best team of the bunch, quite honestly, but despite the fact that I voted someone else. But Northern Iowa, number 1.
This was one where I was probably willing to give at least one mulligan for the Panthers, given that they do have the win against Colorado and also win in Cancun under the belts, but you don't want to be swinging and missing at too many teams and not conference play if you're the Panthers, though.
I guess on that note, that does complete everything for the night, other than some final thoughts. And Sleek, let me stick with you. You want to start us off on some final thoughts?
We'll go back to the SoCon here because we already teased the road trip from hell for East Tennessee State, having to go to both Furman and UNC Greensboro. So if they were to sweep a road trip like this one, you're probably looking at, I would say, at the very least 3 to 4 weeks for them to potentially crack the polls, assuming they were to stay undefeated and thus graduate into the Hoops HD report.
And out of under the radar, yep. We could go through a whole year without anybody graduating, though, for all we know at this point.
We
never,
could.
Never happened before, but it could happen.
Right. We could, but my final thought is that we have not one, not two, but three teams. That the way the polls work is that it's ballooning. So you sort of move up by default. So once you start receiving votes, as long as you don't lose, you move up incrementally, little by little, sort of like what Wofford did last year, albeit Wofford absolutely deserved it, until they kind of get into the poll. And when you look at Liberty, who likely won't lose again, when you look at other teams like Northern Iowa, who could run the table.
SFA is
and then another one, SFA, who likely won't lose or may only lose one more. Could we get three teams into the top 25 and almost none of them, and they might have a combined total of 10 top two? Well, no, Northern Iowa would have a lot more than that. But I think we could see three teams in it, and we normally don't see as many as three.
You're right. It could go either way. It's just every time it looks like somebody's getting close, especially with Northern Iowa, they go and they lose.
Yeah.
But on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We had a big show tonight, I know. We had the big reveal of that team of the decade. If you want to see what the results were, just scroll
Ocean
back
State
a little
Tournament
bit.
Ocean State Tournament championship game.
Ocean State Tournament. It was a huge week. Yeah. I expect another huge week ahead. And we'll be back in next week. I believe we're going to be moving these shows to Wednesday evening starting next week.
But, yeah. Yeah, next week we're into our three, like we're into our three-show format.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more as we get moving to next week. But on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us on behalf of John Stalica, David Griggs, and all the honorees from the Hoops HD Under the Radar Team of the Decade. I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll talk to you again real soon.